Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya, where we talk all about Lyme and beyond, because as most of us know, Lyme rarely travels alone. I created this podcast to offer you hope and to remind you that healing is possible, because I healed from my 13-year journey, although it was exhausting physically, emotionally, and financially. It truly was a blessing as it reshaped my mind, body, and soul. In this space, we share raw and real conversations with those who have made it to the other side of this journey, along with breaking down different topics and approaches with practitioners. My goal is to make you feel less alone, more empowered, and confident in being your own advocate. So thank you so much for tuning in today. And if you're looking for more tips and resources, I share everything I learned along my journey on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page. So, as many of us probably know, getting a inaccurate Lyme testing is not uncommon. It happens every day. Unfortunately, our primary care medical system, the testing is just not designed to pick up on these chronic infections that we have. And so my guest today, sadly, she went down that journey as well. So I'm excited to have her on the show to share about that, to talk about how she finally got a diagnosis and what her treatment journey looked like. So, Erin, thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Without guests like you, I just wouldn't have a show. So, I appreciate all of my guests who take the time to come on and be vulnerable and share their personal story with me. So, thank you again. So, where do we start? How far back do we have to go? When did your journey begin?
Well, probably when I was 15
Oh,
is
wow.
where chronic illness journey started, and then further on Lyme. But looking back, I probably could have had Lyme since I was 12. We just didn't know it at the time. I had joint pain, and I was told as a 12-year-old I had arthritis and things like that. There were red flags all along that we just didn't pick up on until I was older. But when I was 15, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder called PANDAS. And that left me with OCD, Tourette's, anxiety, depression, and a lot of other things. I had to relearn a lot of things, and like math skills, reading, processing skills, things like that. So that was when I was 15. And then after I graduated high school, I went on to college. And when I was getting towards the end of my undergraduate degree, I realized, hey, there's still something wrong with me besides PANDAS. This is not normal to be this tired all the time, to be so fatigued that I would be in the lounge, like where you can get like drinks and food, but also there's a study area in one of the buildings that I had all my classes in, and I would literally just fall asleep at the table there while I was trying to study in between classes. And that would
Wow.
happen like every day that I was there.
Wow.
I would go to classes 3 days a week, and I would just fall asleep and I wouldn't be able to wake up. And
That is crazy.
there were just little clues like that. And so I knew something was still wrong. The joint pain was really bad. Light sensitivity, other little things like that. And so that's when I started exploring, hey, is this chronic Lyme? Is this something else? And so I just started going to visit doctors, and I was actually in the hospital in October of 2016 for
Actually,
something.
can I pause you right there? I already have
Yeah.
so many questions.
Okay.
And I do want to know why Lyme was even on your radar. But so let's go back to when you were 15 and got the diagnosis of PANDAS, because I hear more and more about this, of these children struggling. And you listed many symptoms that I had never even heard that was correlated to that, which is so scary. So, did you ever talk to your parents back, because a lot of times we don't remember things from our younger days, but how were they able to get that diagnosis? Was it hard to even get that diagnosis of PANDAS back then?
Well, it was a newer illness back then because that was 2005, the year I got diagnosed.
Okay.
And actually, I hid it for maybe 5 or 6 months before really I got
Saying
taken to the
anything to your
doctor.
parents or
Yeah,
okay.
I was too scared. I thought I was losing my mind. I was like, what is all this going on? My mom is a nurse. She's a retired nurse now. My dad's a psychologist. So he was picking up, they were picking up on little things. And I was playing year-round sports at the time. And one day when my arm just flung up in the air like this, when I was riding down the road with my dad, he was like, okay, I think I need to take her to the doctor. That's what he said to himself. And that was an involuntary tic. And so that was one of the clues that something was going on with me for the with the pandas. And I would make up little excuses why I would do this, why I would do that. And it was just the little things, but and I was pitching on the varsity softball team, and I was in ninth grade at the time, and I was our only pitcher. So, like, after the season ended, my mom picked me up from school one day and said, I'm taking you to the doctor. So, she took me that day to a friend of hers that's a therapist that has a doctor that works with her. And that day I was diagnosed with OCD, but they didn't understand, they didn't know the scope of it. So my dad had a colleague that could get me into another clinic a couple weeks later. So I got into that clinic. And I was actually diagnosed within my second doctor with PANDAS. So that was May of 2005, which is very rare to be diagnosed that early for PANDAS.
Especially that many years ago when it wasn't even
Yes.
really talked about in the community. I think we could
Yes.
probably give a lot of credit to maybe your parents kind of having the proper resources and avenues to go
Yes.
down. But I could imagine, or I can't imagine, being at such a young age, right? And having all of these like really weird things going on in your body,
Yeah.
like your arm flying up and then, looking at your peers and like, okay, they don't do weird stuff like that. Like
Yeah.
something's wrong with me. I'm weird. I'm the oddball out. I'm crazy. So I can completely relate to how like you just kind of kept it to yourself for a while because we don't know what to do. And I truly
Right.
believe that things like this are kind of a big part of why we have so much mental health issues in the world, right? Like we're afraid of what's going on and we oftentimes don't talk about them or share
Yeah.
them. So thankful to your father for seeing that tick and thinking, okay, no,
Yeah.
this is it. This is it. We're gonna do something.
Yeah.
So wow. Okay. So sorry, I kind of wanted to know that. And so now we're going to go into, you had mentioned, you just started mentioning that you had gone into the hospital or just right before that you were going to kind of look into Lyme disease. So why
Yeah.
was Lyme disease on your radar? Are you familiar with it? Or because I know, like, and I say this all the time, but for me, Lyme disease, I just thought it was something that dogs got. I didn't even know it was a human thing. So it never would have been on my radar. So are you just in an area where a lot of people have it? Or why was it on your radar?
No, I didn't know anyone with it. I mean, I had just known about it, but I did a lot of research, and I'm the type of person that'll loves research and things, and I will research something to death until I understand it. And this is before AI, and you can look up anything with ChatGPT. So I'm Googling, I'm looking in books, and I'm going down the whole rabbit trail of looking at every different illness and putting all the pieces together. And that's what I did. I just researched and researched, and I put all the pieces together. I'm like, this is what I have. I know what it is. And so, yeah. So when I was in the hospital in October of 2016, I was like, hey, doctor, can you test me for this, for Lyme? And he's like, sure, but I don't think you have it. I'm like, okay, sure. If you think that's okay, but please test me. So he tested me and he said, well, you don't have it. I was like, okay, well, thank you for testing me. So
And at
then,
that time, did you believe him or did you already know through your research that the testing isn't very accurate?
I didn't know about the testing at
Okay.
that point. I didn't know it was accurate. Even though he said I didn't have it, I didn't believe him. I just thought he
Okay.
was ignoring
Good for
me.
you. Good for you.
I didn't believe him. I've always been an advocate for myself. I've always believed in patient advocate because of having pandas and needing to stick up for myself. So I learned that at a young age, just to advocate for myself. And so that was October. So in December of 2016, I went to an infectious disease doctor looking for more answers. So he tested me for Lyme. He tested me for a bunch of different things. And he said, well, you don't have Lyme. I'm like, okay, but I still think I have it.
Good for
And so
you.
I wasn't going to give up on searching for what was wrong with me because I knew pandas, that wasn't the whole story. So I had been going to a chiropractor, actually the same chiropractor I still see today. I've been seeing since I was 12 years old. And so I was talking to him and he was like, yeah, it really sounds like you have chronic Lyme. I was like, what? You think I have it? You're the first doctor that has thought that. So it was like, yeah, I've tested other people for it before and I can test you. So he tested me and that was June of 2017. So he tested me and sure enough, I had chronic Lyme. How he did the testing was different from how the other doctors did the testing.
And in what way? Did he do labs or did he do
Yeah,
kinesiology and muscle testing?
I think he did the ELISA testing. I think that was the name of it. I don't know. It's been such a long time ago and I don't remember all of the details
Right, no,
exactly.
and we don't need to. We just know that you finally got validated. You finally,
Yes.
your thoughts got validated that, yeah, you really do
Yes.
have Lyme. Well, good for you for first of all, just being your own advocate at such a young age, because I truly think that the sooner we can be our own advocate in this journey, like we're way ahead of the game. We truly are.
Definitely.
So good for you on that. Okay, so then the hard part starts, right? Like, so you take this diagnosis, and what do you do?
Yeah, so there was a girl that was a couple years younger than me in my community that had Lyme, and I live in North Carolina, and she was down in Florida getting treatment. And so, and she was actually in the newspaper. The reason I found out about her is because there was an article about her in the newspaper, our local newspaper.
And
And
she
so my
was being
mom,
treated for Lyme?
yeah, she was.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how I ended up going to the first place to treat was off of their recommendation. And so my mom and I packed up stuff in a suitcase, and my dad drove us down to Florida, and I started my treatments in Florida, and it
Wow. And
was,
so, okay, so where do you live or where did you live at the time?
yeah, North Carolina.
Okay, so you literally had to pack up again. It was based on a referral from this
Right.
lady in the article. Okay, so then you just have to move there for a certain amount of time.
Yes.
Was it kind of an inpatient treatment center, outpatient, or?
Yeah, so we stayed down there for 5 months in a hotel that was right beside the treatment facility. You treated Monday through Friday. It was IV treatment. And if you needed anything on the weekends, they would treat you, would just go in and they would treat you. Probably by the time I got into 6 or 7 weeks in, I was there every Saturday and Sunday too. They said I was one
Wow.
of their sickest patients at that was there at the time, and I needed constant medication and support through it.
Wow. So what was this facility like? You said you did a bunch of IVs. Did you do antibiotics or was it more holistic treatment? What were some of the treatment options that they did there?
Yeah, so I think it was a little bit of everything. I don't remember all of the details. And I think it was some antibiotics. I think it was some natural, like herbals. And I think it was some, like, immune boosting stuff, like vitamin C bags and things like that. And then they had colon therapy there, they had foot baths there. And so I was doing all that. I was doing parasite detox. I was doing mold detox. And I was just a bunch of different stuff.
Okay, yeah. It sounds very similar to a clinic that I went to. It was outpatient, and then yes, you could go on the weekends if you needed to, and same thing, lots of IVs. High dose vitamin C was one of my favorite things. We did ozone and bionic foot baths and colonics and all this stuff. So just kind of that whole picture is what it sounds like where you went at. So then, how were you feeling or how were you progressing? Was there anything that you did at the clinic that you think really was a game changer at this clinic that you really could notice some benefits from?
I'm not really sure. I think maybe I got a in some ways a little bit better, but in some ways worse. I'm not really sure if
Okay.
my body blew up. Like, I gained so much weight. I probably gained 60 or 70 pounds while I was there.
While you were at the clinic?
Yes, from the different detoxing. And my face broke out in really bad acne. I have a picture, a side-by-side picture of like afterwards and then from like in 2023 from a couple of years ago. And I put them side by side and it looks like two completely different people.
That is
And
so interesting because I do know, right? Like when we're detoxing and all these toxins are, circulating throughout our body, we can have, rashes and breakouts and all sorts of things. But a lot of times when you detox and go through this, you actually lose weight, right? And I know for
yes,
me,
what a
like I
lot of it.
lost weight because it was so much inflammation, is the weight. But you did the whole opposite.
Yeah, a
That
lot
is
of
so
people at that
bizarre.
clinic were a lot of people at that clinic were losing weight, and I'm just like going the opposite.
Did they ever give you a reason or why? I mean, I know that we're all different, right, when we treat, but
Yeah.
that just sounds very
So
odd.
I'm not sure. They never really said, but a couple of months later, whenever I was seeing a new doctor, he's like, "Your adrenal glands are failing. Like, we need to put you in the hospital now because this is not safe." He said my adrenal glands had shut down. So I'm thinking it could
Wow.
have been that.
Okay.
So I'm not really
So, were
sure.
they not supporting your adrenals at the clinic or
They
just
could have
maybe?
been, and I don't really know.
I know.
I don't really
I'm with
remember
you. When I went to
everything.
the clinic, they did all sorts of things and I don't remember what it was or what they did. It's
Yeah.
very overwhelming. I completely get that.
Very,
Yeah, because they
very.
do a lot of things, but there are a lot of practitioners out there that sounds like that they're doing a lot of really good things, but then they
Yeah.
could be missing some big pieces, your
Yeah.
adrenals or detoxing properly, or you're not getting your cortisol levels down, or just a small little thing that can make a huge impact on our body. So I just was curious. But okay, so you're going through this clinic, and how long were you there, and what was kind of your take from that? Like, did you feel like you got a little bit better, but also a lot worse, like you just mentioned?
Yeah, so I was there 5 months and the treatment was really intense and I got really agitated from it, from all the detoxing and like aggressive towards
Okay.
my mom and I couldn't control it and it was really scary. She would call my dad and my dad would have to fly down on an emergency just to help. And because he was trying to work, and then my mom had just retired and she was taking care of me. And so it was like little things, and they would have to sedate me and put me on medicine to help calm me down. And it was just, they were saying it's just all the toxins going through my body. And I couldn't control a lot of how my body was reacting. It was really scary.
Did you have Bartonella?
Yes,
Yeah,
and they
see,
were treating for that as well.
and that is, another word for it is kind of a lot of people that deal with it have a lot of rage.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they have it. But again, we're all so different because I had Bartonella was one of my high markers, and I never dealt with the rage. Now, the anxiety, on the other hand, absolutely off the charts, but I never had that rage. But I know that it's truly out of our control, that
Yeah.
you can't control it. And it sounds like maybe it was kind of getting the best of you at that point.
It definitely was.
So what made you guys decide that, I don't know, maybe this clinic was kind of a 5 month set protocol. Like, you come, you do 5 months, and then you're on your own. What made you decide to seek other treatment options, or what made you decide to quit the clinic that you were at?
Yeah, so we could have kept staying. There was two things it boiled down to. We weren't really sure that I was getting a whole lot better. The second thing, the main thing is it was $6,000 every single Monday, and we literally tapped out by that point of being able to pay $6,000 every single Monday. And so my dad said, "Hey, it's time for you guys to come home, and we'll have to look at
Wow.
other treatment options."
Isn't it so horrible that we feel we have to spend that kind of money to reclaim our life, or to get the health care that we need? Because I know that it's financially draining. It really is. But we're so sick, we have to do something. And so, wow, yeah, that's a lot of money. Calculate $6,000 a week for 5 months. Yeah, that would tap anybody out and beyond, right?
Yeah, and I was fortunate enough at the time that my parents were taking care of me fully financially. I was, from the time I was 15, I had been sick and I had only tried having a job once when I was 19, and I stayed too sick to be able to work then. Like, I would, from the panda stuff, I would go in and I'd have so much anxiety, I'd start throwing up as soon as I'd get there and I'd have to leave. And so I tried that one time having a public job. And so then when I graduated college, I was staying too sick with something that I didn't even know what it was yet. And so then that's when I started treating for Lyme. So I had never had a public job up to that point. So if it wasn't for my parents being so supportive, I would have never gotten any treatment. And so I was just blessed on that end.
You absolutely were. I know, unfortunately, there are so many listeners out there that feel like they're going through this journey alone. First of all, they're not, right? Because we have an amazing Lyme community with an amazing support system. But I do know that many people out there have no family or friends that even believe them that something is wrong. And it's really heartbreaking to think of that. And like you, I was blessed as well because my parents and my friends and family were just all on board, whatever they could do to help. Not that anybody knew what to do, right? And
Yeah.
so yes, I'm so happy that you have them as your biggest supporters.
Yeah.
So now you come home, and what do you seek out next?
So that was when I came home. It was December 2017. It was a week before Christmas. And so we go through Christmas and New Year's, and we're kind of just, I'm kind of just there trying to figure out the next step, not doing any treatment at the time.
So you weren't doing anything
And
back at home.
yeah, so not for a couple of months. We were
Okay.
researching and trying to figure out our next step. And so in May of 2018 is whenever I found a new doctor that was local and only an hour away. He treated for Lyme. And so that's when I started going to see him.
Okay.
And he's the one that said, "Hey, your adrenals have shut down. We've got to do something."
Right. And I bet
So
just by boosting those back up and working on those, you probably felt a whole lot better.
yeah, it was a slow progress, trying to get that back. I ended up with hypothyroidism as a result, and I just got some new labs back saying that I have Hashimoto's, and so I'm thinking it kind of came from when my adrenals failed. And so I'm on thyroid medicine, and then I've created my own plan by my research of how to be able to get my immune system to stop attacking my thyroid. And so I can eventually wean off the thyroid medicine natural and do a natural path towards that I've started on.
Got it. Yeah, no, Lyme certainly wreaks havoc on every part of our body, right? It truly is a nightmare of a disease for sure. So once do you remember some of the things that they did to help your adrenals? And if you didn't, that's fine too.
Yeah, I think I was on maybe some dropper stuff. I don't really
Okay.
remember
Okay.
everything. It's all like the lines kind of
I
blur of like
completely
all
get
the
it.
different
And it's just
treatments.
overwhelming. Like our brain isn't working very
Yeah.
well as it is going through it. And so for a normal person to be able to remember and understand everything that we're putting in our body, it can be very hard to
Yeah, I
decipher
think
and detail it out.
there's been so many different protocols that I've done, and they all have weird names and
Yeah, they for sure do.
weird long names, and they're just so hard to remember.
Yeah. So what was your game-changing therapy that you did?
Yeah, so I was talking to my chiropractor, the same one that did my Lyme test, and I found that I had Lyme, and he's like, "Well, there's this treatment that I had another patient go do, and it's called SOT." And my chiropractor said he went to this clinic and got SOT done, and now he's completely fine. And it's like he never even had Lyme. I was like, "Okay, sign me up. How do I find this place?" So he gave me the information, and that was, I think, in 2023.
Okay,
And
can you
so,
share the clinic or the practitioner that did the SOT? I know a lot of people talk about it. I've even done a
right.
few podcast episodes on it, but sometimes they could be hard to find practitioners.
Right. It was in Sarasota, Florida. The doctor's name, off the top of my head, I don't remember, or the name
Okay.
of the clinic,
No
but I
worries,
remember.
but listeners, as always, I will get that information and put it in the description of this episode if you want to seek it out.
Yeah, he
Okay.
was in Sarasota. So my dad and I took off to Florida again.
Back to Florida again.
Yeah. And He found out through muscle testing which treatments that I needed, and I did one for Lyme and two for co-infections. And so he said that was probably all that I needed. And so we made, I think, a total of 5 trips, one for the consultation, one each of the SOTs, and then one follow-up. And we did that over a course of a year.
Okay, I was just going to say, I thought I recall that you have to kind of separate them out for so long, and then once they do the blood draw for it, like then they have to wait for it to come back, or I only know a little bit, and it was just from that practitioner sharing on my podcast. But okay, so you did 3 SOTs. It was kind of a quick thing. You could just go down and do it and come back home. You didn't have to actually move back to Florida again. So definitely more cost effective, right?
We would be gone 2 days at a time. We would stay one night in a hotel.
Perfect. And
So yeah, it
so,
was
did you do
oh.
the Lyme one first? Or do
I
you
don't
remember?
remember which order I did it in.
Okay.
I don't
And it doesn't
remember.
matter.
I
So,
almost think I did the lime one last.
after you did the first one, did you feel any different?
No. And
No.
I was
Okay.
like, is this really working? I didn't feel anything. I
Anything.
was like, and
Okay.
I told the doctor that. He's like, well, it could take a little bit of time.
Okay, so then you go and do the second thing. And did you feel anything from the second one?
No, I still didn't feel any better.
Okay, and so then you go do the third one. And
Yes.
that was the
It took
ticket.
about a year. It took about a year for me to start feeling better after all three of them. It
Real
didn't
okay, that's
happen
good to
immediately,
know.
Dee.
Yeah, okay, that is
Yeah,
so
so
good to know.
a lot of people feel better right afterwards. And I had a friend that had had SOT done that I was connected with through the Lyme community. And I was talking to her and I was like, is this normal? And she's like, well, yeah, a lot of people feel better right away and some people don't feel better right away. So it took me about a year to start feeling better. So I'm like, t last year, 2025, is when I started feeling better.
Wow, that's so, it really is amazing how, I mean, I know our bodies are so different from one another, but to have such a big gap, like so many, right away, and then so many take a year. And so, but that is good information to know, right? Because we can't always expect instant gratification from any type of treatment that we do. It truly is a process and rebuilding the foundation of our body. So during this time before the light bulb came on in your body, right? That I'm alive again. What did you do things at home to support your body? Do you remember anything, or you just kind of rode the wave?
So I was still taking glutathione,
Okay.
and I've switched over. Instead of taking glutathione, now I take NAC,
Okay.
so my body can start producing it on its own. And I think I did some foot baths, some ionic foot baths. I did some the thing that I forgot what it's called, that you sit in, it helps you sweat.
The
I
sauna.
forgot. Yes, the sauna.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, I did that. I did some things, and but the biggest thing that helped me during that time was relying on God.
Love it.
Yeah.
It really, he, I know for myself personally, and I'm sure I can't be alone in this, but I truly had a love-hate relationship with God for many years during this journey. I was angry, right? But the bottom line is, when we surrender to him to lead us down this path, ultimately that's the path we need to take. So yes, I'm 1,000,000%, I owe it all to him and my family, of course. So, well, Erin, I'm just so happy that you made it through that journey, and that, it sounds like you guys really took a leap of faith with that SOT and continued it because you weren't feeling any different. So, but that was ultimately what was your game changer for you. That's amazing. So your path, right? So talking about God, your path looks much different than it did prior to going down this Lyme journey, I know that you created a woman's Christian coaching program along with a Bible study app, which I just love. Tell me and the listeners exactly what this is.
So I'll talk about the Bible study app first.
Okay.
So it's an app that you can either get on your phone or you can get it on your laptop or computer or a tablet, and it helps you understand and apply God's word easier without feeling guilty for not reading every day or overwhelmed of not knowing where to start or rigid Bible plans. Because I've done a year in the Bible, a year long Bible study last year, but and I loved every minute of it. The whole Bible in a year plan, I loved it, but it went so fast for me that I wanted to be able to go deeper and a little bit slower. So for this app, you can actually, it asks you on your onboarding questions, how many days a week do you want to read? How many minutes a day do you want to read? 5, 10, 15, 20, or 30 minutes. What's your reading speed? Do you want to go really fast or medium? Or do you want to go slower so you can go more in depth? And then you can pick whether you want to do a chronological. And if you want to do chronological, if you want to start in Genesis or Matthew, and then
Okay. So
it
lots of
formulates your
customization
plan.
on
Yeah, so
what
it
you want to
formulates
do.
your plan of how you want to read, and then you can either even pick thematic plans and have other plans in there too. And so
I love
it's
that.
really customizable for doing a chronological plan, and I love that how it just tells you what to read each day, so there's no confusion of, oh, what should I read today? And so then it
Right.
explains everything that you're reading. It does character studies for what's in that passage for that day's reading, and then it gives you it breaks down the context of in the Bible, and it explains what's going on. And then it gives you reflection questions for that day's reading. And those are optional, but if you sit there and think about them, and you can even type them in if you want, it really helps you process the information better. And it has a prayer based on that day's reading. And then there's a journal for prayer requests and gratitude that you can link to that day's reading. And then there's a notes, like a take notes piece that's in the app all the way through the app of that day's reading that it minimizes, goes up and down. So if you click on it and you want to take some notes, there's three different types of note taking you can do. You can do SOAP, you can do free form, or you can do verse mapping, and you can do your notes and then minimize it and keep going through the explanations. And then there's a minute of quiet time too to reflect on that reading.
Wow, that sounds so amazing. Okay, so of course, listeners, we're going to put all the information in the description of this episode. But Erin, share with me it's just an app that you can download on your phone. What is it called?
It's called Beacon Script, and you go to the website that she'll put in, that will be in the show notes, and then you just sign up for it, and then you
Okay.
can, and it gives you all the instructions on the page.
Perfect. Now, is it free or is there a charge for it?
There is a charge for it because to run the app, it costs me to run the app.
Right. Okay.
It
All
costs me
right.
per month to run the app. So yeah, there is a little bit of a
Perfect.
charge.
Okay. Awesome. So there's that. That sounds like an incredible tool. Incredible, because things get very overwhelming, right? And when you were kind of describing it, it reminds me of Pastor Jordan at my church, who he always says, he says, now we're a note-taking church, right? Like, now this is a note I want you to take. And I just love it because he really does kind of break down the analogy of a lot of pieces of the Bible, right, to into smaller pieces for us to really understand. And it sounds like you've created this on an app. So, wow, good for you. Good for you. So now your women's Christian coaching, what is that all about?
Yeah, so I have a community on a platform called Skool, Skool, and the name of the group is called the Resilient Sisterhood. It's for Christian women living with chronic illness, and it's a free group that you can be a part of. And then inside the group, we have discussions, and then if you want to work closer with me, I offer coaching. And then
That's amazing.
the coaching helps take a woman that is in stuck in survival mode and helps her get to stability.
Right. That is amazing. And I think that, many of my past guests have, turned their life into doing coaching and stuff like this. And I really think that it's such a great tool because, we go to our practitioner. How often, though? Like every so many months, and a lot of times we need that support in the meantime, right? Like the kind of the stepping stones throughout that. So I'm so proud of you, Erin. This sounds like just
Thank
such an
you.
it, you know, I mean, so you don't have to say it to me because I already know, but tell it to the listeners. Was this journey, was it truly not a blessing for you?
It was the biggest blessing in disguise that I could ever ask for.
I say it all the time, and a lot of people don't believe me. So I love it when my guests share that as well. And it truly sounds like you are at your calling now in what you're doing. And so thankful for you and the resources that you are offering to the community because we know it's a tough journey. So, well, Erin, is there any last piece of advice, tips, tricks, whatever that you want to leave with the listeners?
Yes, I would say keep your faith that you will get through this. Keep faith in God that He will help you through it. Rely on Him. Get in the Word. If you can only read one verse that says, whatever verse, if it's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, pray that, reflect on that. He will pull you through it. And that is the biggest thing that has gotten me through is relying on God every single day. Even the days that I thought my body was literally shutting down, I would tell my parents, if I die tomorrow, this is why, because my body feels like it's shutting down. But God brought me through it every single time. And without God, I would not be where I am today.
Well, that was a perfect way to end. Erin, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to share with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.